broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. Nut Out continues now. This is the broadcast for December the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2018, hour 2 at 2. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Kurt Crosby with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. Dr. Scott Bradley's with us. FreedomsRisingSun.com. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen. Always good to hear your voices, and we're glad to be here.
All right. Ocasio-Cortez, this whacked-out socialist young lady that pretends she's from the Bronx or from the hood that's really grown up in wealth, and she grew up in one of the most wealthy counties in the nation. Ocasio-Cortez literally threatens Donald Trump Jr. She says, quote, "I have subpoena power." Do you want to respond to that, Scott?
Well, I think that's what we get when we elect bozos and yo-yos to high positions. There was a day and a time when dignity and character and everything really meant something in the political scene in America. I think we have to go back quite a few decades for that, maybe a century and a half. But the fact of the matter is, back in, was about 80 years before the Constitution was written, Daniel Defoe wrote, "Power corrupts." No, let's see. He wrote, "All men would be tyrants if they could." And I guess you can say to women, too. And then 100 years after the Constitution was written, Lord Acton wrote, "Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely." And we do know that it is a natural tendency of humankind, I guess we can say, will be gender neutral. When they get a little authority, as they suppose, to begin to abuse that authority. And it seems to me like that is the sole and only purpose that some people are seeking authority now. They want to pull the levers of government in a manner that allows them to fulfill whatever agenda they have without any idea of the limits and bounds that the Constitution places on those that are in office at the national level. It's astounding to me, but then again, it's not. I guess I see the Democratic Socialists thinking they're in their heyday or coming into their heyday, and they're going to try and do everything in their power to turn the system over, and that's kind of what they do.
But here's what's comical to me. None of the Republicans or none of the conservatives or none of the whatever you want to call them spoke out against her on this. In my opinion, they should say, you know what? We don't know that with that kind of an attitude, you can even swear an oath to the Constitution. Let's start impeachment proceedings against this new congressman woman before she even gets to Congress. You can't threaten people like that right before you take an oath to the supreme law of the land. But nobody's even calling her on the carpet for it, really.
Well, actually, the Constitution puts the responsibility of policing themselves within the House. And there's good reason for that. I mean, if the Republicans,
the so-called underdog, said, "Look, you know what? You're talking about already impeaching Donald in the House. We want to stop Cortez. Number one, we got to make a big issue out of this and already censure her for this." What I mean is, they could start in the House. The people could push their representatives, and they could do something. But there wasn't even a whimper.
Yeah, this is. It's kind of like, if you got, your scriptures in front of you, you can read about David and Bathsheba and how, the thing with Uriah didn't quite work out, so they put him in the hottest battle and then they withdrew their forces. The Republicans are kind of known for that. I'm really sorry to say that what they do is they throw their so-called colleagues into battle and then they withdraw and let them get slaughtered. And that's kind of what they're doing with Trump. Trump is a Republican, albeit one that seems to buck the establishment considerably. And there seems to be no honor among thieves sometimes, too. So there's a lot of euphemisms you can throw on this thing. But you're right. I don't care if it's Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, Constitution Party members, whoever it is, ought to be saying, look, this is not the purpose of government, to throw weight around and cause disruption and everything. This is something they have a job description. It's called the United States Constitution. That job description says you've got to do this and this and this and this. And there's no wiggle room for that and that and that and that. And you say, well, you know, okay, impeachment. Okay, Article 2, Section 4 talks about impeachment, but what the heck? I mean, we're just out way in left field. I guess that's a good choice of terms in this case. And everybody and their dog seems to have lost sight of the fact that they take an oath to the Constitution, and that government is limited, bounded, and constrained by the enumerated.
And that's why it should be top news when a elected representative, before they even take their oath of office, threatens to unconstitutionally use subpoena power against Trump Jr. I mean, Trump Jr. is just an average citizen, right?
That's correct, and it's just government run amok by people.
But it's no different than Lois Lerner and the IRS abusing her authority and power, and then, hey, the congressman that tries to stop it, Steve Stockman, goes to prison for 10 years, and Lois Lerner and a Cortez run around free, and Donald lets the crowds chant, lock them up, but, hey, we do nothing here. All right, let's move to... Go ahead, sir.
None of us remember it because we weren't there, but the commune that governed... France, when they took on their communist accoutrements back in the 1800s, they were an unwashed rabble. I mean, they could no more govern than anything, and they were total, complete disasters. They were a total failure. The wheels fell off everything in France, and they basically had to hightail it out of town with their tails between their legs. But as they did that, they killed about 30,000 people and burned all sorts of priceless art and all that kind of stuff. They were just spoiled brats. And that seems to me like what we're getting very often as the representatives of the people at the national level. Now, that doesn't mean I'm giving a pass to the deep state and all those other things, but the people are electing rabble, unwashed rabble to go
tragic,
in.
Tragic, but true. Speaking of the people electing unwashed rabble, I'm not for either of the candidates in this battle. But it turns out that Mia Love's fight in the Olympic State of Utah is one of the most expensive races in Utah history. Donald said that she lost because she didn't back Donald. I don't know that that's true. But I know this. They all lose when they don't stand up for what the people want. But it turns out that it was about $11.4 million when you total up both sides of this. The two candidates and outside political groups. $11.4 million on a tiny Utah House race.
Well, that is true, and that's basically what we're at right now. Offices are for sale, and it's interesting. The people sell their votes to the candidate that says they'll give them the most goodies. The candidates sell their votes to their colleagues to get through their unconstitutional promises they made to the people that they bought the votes with. See, it's really kind of a cool situation if you're a candidate or a politician or a representative. You don't have to spend your own money to get power. And power corrupts, we said earlier. But they're so power hungry that they make promises when they're out campaigning. The people sell their votes to those promises. They get in office and they say, holy cow, I like this office. It's pretty cushy. And yeah. So they look to their colleagues who also sold their constituents' promises. They band together, they deliver on those promises, and we keep reelecting them. And those promises have brought us to multi-trillion, well, it's well over $21 trillion now in our admitted debt, but they continue to make those promises. But that's why these big dollar amounts are being spent. It's people think that they can pull the levers of government and get anything they want, and of course, the candidates and politicians will do anything they can to keep the office. And it all comes down to the fact that nobody, well, not nobody, but almost nobody, seems to understand that the limits and bounds of government are constrained within the enumerated powers. And the 10th Amendment says it absolutely and unequivocally to the national government. If we didn't enumerate your power, you don't have it. And so give me a love contest for a little puny Utah Congress district. And But that's what's happened. This has become a big sellout to big money, and we're in deep trouble because we the people are really ultimately responsible. We the people continue to be ignorant, and as it says in Isaiah and Hosea, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Well, and this is an example to this. Donald Trump released from the White House email. So I usually pay attention to the White House because I want to hear from their mouth what they say, not what others say about them. And the White House released a press release that says, "A great and noble man, Bush, honored one last time in Washington." And what a disgrace coming out of the White House. Bush was a thug.
Well, we talked about this a little bit last time, where there was a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, even a week later, they're rolling out how awesome he was. Still,
that's true. And what's happening is, I think people are trying to ride on the coattails of this feel good kind of situation a little bit, where everybody that hated George H.W. Bush's guts in the press suddenly is making him an icon of liberty. And the people are saying, holy cow, you know, maybe I can take a little bit of this luster. They can shine a little light on me while I'm here, too. And it's just conniving, in my opinion. I yearn for the days where, I got this plaque in front of me all the time. I'll tell you what it is when we get back if you're interested.
Absolutely. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Scott Bradley with us, his incredible collegiate series to preserve the nation. FreedomsRisingSun.com for his lectures and more. He has webinars every week in addition to being on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
All right, Dr. Scott Bradley riding shotgun today to preserve the nation. Incredible collegiate series and book. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website. Check out his incredible weekly webinars, as well as being on the radio with us. Does a phenomenal job. So, Scott, you're sitting in front of a plaque, huh?
Well, I keep this in front of me all the time. It's a statement by George Washington. It says, "There is but one straight course, and that is to seek truth and pursue it steadily." And I think that if people live by that maximum, and not trying to spin truth, you know, there's another one that I like too that was written by Edmund Burke. Edmund Burke was a statesman in England that basically was a friend of the Americans during the Revolution. He's telling the king, "Hey, listen, you got to back off on these guys and quit all of these intolerable acts and all these kind of things. Edmund Burke was a brilliant man that saw the French Revolution for what it was long before Jefferson saw it that way. I mean, and if you've ever read, you should read his letter explaining the French Revolution and how it was going to end in disaster. Man was just incisive, right on the leading edge of all the geopolitical things. He talks like, this is what he wrote in 1777. This is during the American Revolution. He says, people crushed by law have no hopes but from power. If laws are their enemy, they will be enemies to laws. And those who have lost hope and nothing to lose will always be dangerous. And I think that's kind of where we're going in America today.
Wow, kind of? It's like that on steroids. It's in spades, sir.
There's no question. And here, you know, and you can talk about, you know, our congressman friend that's in jail. But here's the deal. Back in, you know, after the American Revolution and the founding of the nation, the new Constitution was implemented, America just, I mean, it just blossomed. It stood up, dusted itself off. It had been a dusty backwater, nothing of no consequence colony, set of colonies anyway. And overnight almost, it became a phenomenon. And the people of Europe were just in awe of what was happening in America. A little French guy named Tocqueville came over here and said, I'm going to see this on the boots on the ground. And he went through America, and he saw their churches, their factories, their farms. He went all over the place, their courts. And he made some comments that are phenomenal. I talk about these in my book, by the way. But the fact of the matter is, he says, in America, everything's legal. There's you know, nowadays we hear, oh, there ought to be a law, and they make a law about it. And the laws are so poorly written and so obtuse in terms of lacking of understanding of anything, that they become basically an instrument that can be perverted and twisted until everybody's a criminal. But Tocqueville saw in America there was not a law for everything. He says, although everything's legal, the people have an internal kind of a sounding board, if you will, something inside, and it's called religion. They have a belief in God. This understanding that someday they will face the final judge and the one that cannot be deceived, they keep themselves regulated, and they don't have a law for everything. And of course, Franklin talked about as we become more vicious, we need more masters. And in America, I just feel like we're creating that kind of environment where everybody needs a master and nobody's free. And it's the antithesis of what America started out as.
Well, that's exactly right. And we're basically funding Planned Parenthood. We can't seem to stop it. We're funding the war mentality. We're arming and training and funding enemies around the world. But it gets worse. We're even funding the most rich foreigners among us. Turns out the State Department tax dollars are subsidizing George Soros' operations. That's been documented now, too. What are we doing, Scott?
Well, again, this is government run amok. We need to go back and apply the plain English words of the Constitution. It's written in plain English words. Those that have taken the time to learn the language know that those words have meanings. Now, those meanings can be nothing but what they meant in the day they were written. You cannot say, oh, we redefined that in 2010, and now it means blah, blah, blah. No. Those words meant what they meant when they were written in 1787, and you cannot say, oh, no, now we think it means this. No, we can find the meaning of those in the words and actions of the American founding fathers, and that's what I talk about in original intent. If we're not reading the United States Constitution in its original intent, if we're not reading the Federalist Papers, if we're not reading St. George Tucker's view of the Constitution of the United States, if we're not reading the inaugural addresses. And, I mean, these things were right there. The beginning years were clearly outlined. And people say, wow, how do you apply these things to modern day? Well, the Constitution and everything they did was not written to be modified as technology advanced, or it didn't become outmoded because of technology advancements. I mean, it applies to horse and buggy days as well as space station days because it addresses human nature. Human nature is what they wrote this to, and that has not changed. It's always been as we've pointed out so often, people seeking their own benefit and looking for their, you know, some kind of power and being able to accrue that power.
Well, speaking of power, Dennis Prager sent me an email, and the headline was the most interesting piece. And I want to basically bring this forward and ask Kurt and you, Scott, and I'll answer as well, but I'll answer last. The headline on Dennis Prager's email says this: who are the most powerful people in America? Think about that. Who are the most powerful people in America? You want to go first, Kurt?
I would say the judges seem to have the most power right now. One judge can typically trump, you know, millions of people, even trump presidents, Congress, etc.
All right, who do you think, Scott? Kurt's saying the judges?
Well, I think that Kurt has got it in so many ways because of the current upside-down and backwards view of things. If you're talking about government, now, of course, the people ultimately are the source of the power, and they gave it to states, and the states gave it to the national level. But if you're talking about the national level, let me just give you a food for thought. The length of time in office is inversely proportional to the amount of power that's there. So if they looked at the most powerful office, it would be the congressman, because they have the power of the purse and the power of the voice of the people. Because they are so powerful, they were only given a 2-year term of office. And so you can kind of see, judges, by the way, got, it's good behavior. Their length of term is good behavior. And it has nothing to do with life, although some of them should have life, in my opinion, behind bars. But see, what's happened is the founders perceived the judges as being the least powerful and therefore the least dangerous in the beginning. And the way they set the government up was because the voice of the people and the power of the purse went to the congressman. They were given the shortest term of office so they could be held up for election. What's his name? Patrick Henry served 7 terms as governor of Virginia. But they were 7 1-year terms. The people wanted to be able to look at a very short interval. Hey, how you doing? Okay, we'll keep you. But that's what the idea was with the congressman. And so they gave them a shorter term of office. And judges were intended to be basically kind of referees almost. I mean, that's kind of that could be found with fault with that. But the fact of the matter is, we've flipped that over now. The people have almost zero power. And the judges have usurped almost everything, and that's why it becomes such a kind of a carnival circus when they have a Supreme Court judge that comes up for nomination, because people are under the mistaken and false and absolutely diabolical opinion that the Constitution is what the judges say it is. And so we have flipped it, and that's one of the reasons we're in such trouble. But anyway, that's probably a longer answer than you wanted.
No, it's a perfect answer. Would you agree with Kurt, the judges, or do you have another idea? I agree judges are one of the most powerful people. To me, this isn't a debate on who's right. It's a discussion of what the top threats are, is really the point, right?
Well, current events, I guess, is what you're pointing in this direction, right? What did your buddy say in the email?
The headline said, where'd it go? Who is the most important, or who's the most powerful? Who are the most powerful people in America? It's an interesting question that I want you to think about. Let's do this, though. Kurt says it's the judges. And again, I don't want to get stuck on, if I say something else, that it's I'm right, Kurt's not. I concur 1,000% with Kurt that, you know what, the judges are some of the most powerful people in America. One minor district judge can literally shut down the president with the wave of a hand. And it's out of control. Kurt's spot on. I would have
impeach
to say,
him.
Impeach him. Amen. I agree. But Donald doesn't really push for that. I think the most powerful people in America are the 12 banks that make up the Federal Reserve.
Ooh, good point.
I think they're the most powerful. They're the ones that, well, let's talk about it. And then we'll get Scott's answer in seconds. This is Sam, Scott, and Kurt on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, Scott Bradley, Dr. Scott Bradley, I might add. To Preserve the Nation is incredible collegiate reality check on America and how to restore the principles that made America great. Pure application of the supreme law of the land is where it starts. Morality in the people is certainly top center stage as well. So we're talking about what? Who are the most powerful people in America? Huh? Kurt says the judges. I have a hard time disagreeing with that point. I say the Federal Reserve, the 12 private consortium of banks. These people, I mean, they're absolutely unaccountable to anybody. No audits, no accountability. Literally everything that's off the rails now almost couldn't be done without that belligerent funding of all that stuff. What do you say to that, Scott?
You know, it's interesting. We talk about the current conditions in a polluted environment. And I always try and take this back to the original intent, the founding fathers, the plan that was set forth, I believe, under divine inspiration. And when,
by the way, amen to that, 12, sir.
Yeah, when you talk about these 12 unelected, unempowered by anything except for raw, false government, They are extremely powerful. They are destructive. They are ruining. The 1913 was a horrid year for this country. The perfect storm of destruction, the 16th Amendment, 17th Amendment, and the Federal Reserve Act. Fact of the matter is, they have no constitutional power. There is no right of any private consortium of bankers to run and to direct and to control our economy. this is a false pretense. And it kind of reminds me, in a way, I think of the scriptures a lot. I love the scriptures. You think of Herod that was in power at the time of the Savior. You know, if David's throne had followed the descent of the throne, Joseph would have been the king of Judah, and Jesus Christ would have been the crown prince, following the line of descent that came down from David. But there was a usurper on the throne named Herod. He was not even an Israelite. He was an Edomite, and he had usurped the power and was being held in power for political reasons by his Roman masters, if you will, and by those that were the string pullers and puppeteers of his day. He did not have any authority or legitimacy in the office. And the Federal Reserve doesn't either. The Federal Reserve is absolutely off the charts, off the rails, out in the woods. I don't know how you want to put it, but they should not have one shred of power that they currently have usurped. And I'm of the opinion that they need to be not just audited, but disbanded. And
no question, because I look at it, and the next headline kind of articulates this. Listen to this carefully to what this headline says. UN, that's the United Nations, doubles down, forces Donald Trump to stay in climate treaty. And now the Republicans are restoring UN funding. See, without this funding, none of this could happen.
You're right. But I'll tell you what, the Federal Reserve has been destroyed once before during the administration of Andy Jackson. It wasn't called the Federal Reserve, but a guy by the name of Nicholas Biddle was the Federal Reserve chairman in their day. And there's kind of an interesting story behind it. We won't take the time to tell that, but the fact of the matter is, Andy Jackson basically vetoed the renewal of their charter. Now, they overcame that in 1913 by not having a renewal issue. But the fact of the matter is, Biddle threw a temper tantrum when this happened. The House and the Senate couldn't override this veto that Jackson threw in there. He threw an economic temper tantrum. The nation just absolutely went through an economic shudder for a fairly brief period of time. But because sound concepts had been restored, they came back with a vengeance, and the entire national debt of the United States was expunged during Andy Jackson's presidency, and the nation got put on a sound foundation economically. It's been done before, it can be done again, and the fact of the matter is, we just need some courageous people that are willing to step up and do it. We could get rid of the Fed. We could. Congressionally enacted law, the Federal Reserve Act. It can be repealed. There's not going to take a constitutional amendment. There's nothing. Yeah, they're going to make us feel the hurt. It will be something that is a big shudder, but I guarantee something coming out of it will be a stronger, better nation economically. So, yeah, while they may be powerful, they're not all powerful. We could completely remove them from the scene. They don't have to be there.
Yeah, Ron Paul saying to Donald Trump and to the whole world, foreign interventionism isn't the America First that was promised. And boy, howdy, is he spot on. But I got news for Ron Paul. As long as we have a Federal Reserve, hey, they're going to have this foreign interventionism. You can't stop it. They've got too much money. 90% of these government agencies that are judge, jury, and executioner, all these unconstitutional things are funded by, again, some of the most powerful people in America. They're funded by the Federal Reserve. And whenever we assert a check and balance, the judges mess it up. So that's like a 1-2 punch. And then you put the media lying to the people in the mix. And man, you got to triple play this disaster for the freedoms of Americans.
Well, you're absolutely correct. But it's all based on a false premise. I mean, this is a usurpation, a bold-faced, plain and simple usurpation. And it can be restored. But it's going to have to originate with the people. I mean, and we the people are at fault for being ignorant and unwilling to basically be the masters of our destiny. And you know what's astounding to me? This is a little side note, I know, but I got to put in a little plug on this. Clear back in 1913, when this horrid thing occurred, there was a much sounder understanding of constitutional principle. But even with that in effect, they got the appropriate number of states to ratify horrific constitutional amendments, the 16th to 17th, that have been so destructive of the freedom of America. And people today always tell me, oh, if we have constitutional amendments brought forth by a convention, oh, can you imagine three-quarters of the states falling for that? And yes, I can. We have watched it. Well, the 14th Amendment never really got ratified constitutionally, so I won't talk about that. But the 16th and 17th Amendment, absolutely. We had more constitutionally sound people, and these amendments ended up ratified. Now, I don't.
Yeah. Now, there's debate if they were even ratified too. But okay.
But the fact of the matter is, it was the wool was pulled over the people's eyes, and you don't think it couldn't happen again in the 21st century? Holy cow!
Boy, howdy! All right. So instead of Donald Trump talking about the Federal Reserve in America, that's literally destroying the economy. Instead of Donald Trump really doubling down on the judges in America, I guess Trump's too busy talking about France, huh, Kurt?
Well, he's got a little something to say there. The headlines from Breitbart go as follows. Trump weighs in on France chaos and Paris agreement, return money back to the people. The French, by the way, follow-up headline, France accuses Trump of interfering in its politics as yellow vest protests rage. Yeah, there you go.
Why doesn't Donald Trump double down and deal with the problems in America? We've got chaos all over the country right now. You got literally an elected congresswoman running around threatening a citizen with subpoena power. You've literally got this on steroids attack against President Trump. You've got the United Nations, literally foreign interventionism going on. You've got the judges out of control. The UN's controlling Donald and doubling down and flat out shutting him down. And Donald's just talking about France?
Well, you know, but before you leave France, let me just say something about France. This should be front page headline news in America for this reason. This turmoil in France was caused over some taxes that were to be put on fuel, you know, fossil fuels, these carbon-based fuels, that were to come in because of the Paris Accord on climate control. They were jacking the prices up on fuel that were going to absolutely put the squeeze on everybody from anything in the economy, from individuals and heating their homes and driving their cars to their economy in terms of manufacturing. But that was directly related to why, I mean, we're trying to get out of this climate control thing you're talking about, right? Well, we're doing a really crappy job of it, but the fact of the matter is, these tax increases are directly as a result of saying, oh, we're going to cut back on fossil fuels. And so the people were saying, hold it, guys, this is going to kill us. And if America was doing that, we should be saying, hold it, guys, it's going to kill us.
But the United Nations doubling down and forcing Donald to stay in the trade agreement. Climate treaty.
Well, they can't force us to stay in.
As long as we're stupid enough to fall for it, they can.
But that's true. But we're so stupid, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So said Hosea. The fact of the matter is that decision, that fact was decided back in 1648 with the Westphalian Treaty of 1648, where supranational powers were prevented from interfering with the affairs of the nation. All nations are sovereign and can make their own choices. And we can talk more about that if you want. That's a fascinating thing that the founding of America was predicated upon.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Scott Bradley, Kurt Crosby on your radio.
Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie, 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 and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals. I'm going to open up our libel laws so when they write
purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money. We're going to open up those libel laws.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Talking to Scott Bradley, Sam Bushman, and Kirk Crosby on your radio. It's amazing what's going on in the Republic today, ladies and gentlemen. We've completely lost control. Who are the most powerful people in America? Kurt says the judges. I'm saying the Federal Reserve, and between those two, it's a 1-2 punch. The UN doubles down, forces Trump to stay in climate treaty, lies the press. Ron Paul says foreign interventionism isn't the America first that was promised. Boy, is he right on. But you know what? Trump spending his time debating France. And I appreciate that. I understand why, but I also get that it's, you know, hey, if we're, all Donald needs to say is, you know what? Goodbye to the UN. We're defunding it. We're getting out of it. It's a sham. You're not going to force me to stay in the climate treaty. In fact, France is melting down over the climate treaty. But again, Donald talks France should get out of the climate treaty and then somehow, return the money to the taxpayers. Okay, why is Donald talking about what France ought to do? Why doesn't Donald just do what we ought to do, Scott?
Well, you're right. We elected him. The people of America elected him. I didn't vote for him, but
Neither did I.
Huh?
Neither did I.
Okay, but at any rate, this idea of us being kind of the big kahuna, if you will, in the world government and the world's policeman and the defender of whatever and whatever, all of that violates the very premise of how America came about. In 1776, the American founders understood, based upon international protocol that had been formalized, if you will, in 1648, if we became a sovereign nation, no other nation could interfere in our policies. Our borders were sacred, if you will. There was no foreign or supranational intervention. The 1648 treaty that I brought up basically was a result of the church and its involvement in trying to interfere in the affairs of the nations of Europe. And it had resulted in 30-year wars and 80-year wars and everything. And they said, you know what, we're sick and tired of this. We're going to all agree that every nation is legally equal. And every nation is sovereign, and no other nation can interfere in theirs, and no other, and that's what, that was the basis of the founding fathers in 1776 saying, look, you know what? If we can declare our independence and make it stick, we're our own deal. We will find our own way. We don't have to bow to anybody. We will be able to run our affairs, and our nation will be a free and independent nation. We won't have to look at the mistress of the sea, England, for Mother May I to do anything.
Amen to that reality check, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Donald Trump's having a massive shakeup in his administration. Kelly resigned. There's all kinds of swamp monsters being proposed for positions. There's one position that might have a decent chance under for consideration for Donald Trump's chief of staff. Kurt?
Yeah, they say Mark Meadows is basically under consideration for that, I mean, the guy's got a pretty good score on the
what does he got?
New American Freedom Index at 73, which is
Yeah,
you know,
it's a C-minus. It's pretty good.
Well, I mean, compared to what we're used to.
That's right. Compared to the 40, it's incredible. You know, the bottom line is Mark Meadows is better than most, but I bet he won't get it. It's kind of like we hoped Mike Lee might actually get on the Supreme Court. But again, Mark Meadows under consideration for Trump's chief of staff. What do you think will happen there, Scott?
Well, I don't know what will happen, but let me just say this about that. How does that sound for a political answer? We say 73% he's voting in favor of the
Very good, Scott.
Holy cow, that's great. But you know what? That means that a fourth of the time he's being unfaithful. And think about this in terms of a marriage.
More than a fourth of a time.
I know, but that's if around terms. Okay, because this will fit my analogy here. Let's say, you know, you know, a husband and wife, they take vows for faithfulness to each other. And let's say that the husband in the marriage says, you know what, I'm going to follow those vows 75% of the time. That means that 1 week a month, he's unfaithful. That is unacceptable. That would not fly. Any spouse, I mean, they'd have to be the most broken of persons to accept that. And so you say, well, I'm a 90 percenter. Okay, well, that means in a month, so, you know, 90% means 27 days, you're going to be faithful. 3 days, you're unfaithful. That's unacceptable. If you say 99.999%, I'm going to be faithful to my vows. That's unacceptable.
If you say 110%, now that is acceptable.
Now, so here we have a Mark Meadows, and it's a sad state of affairs that we're in right now to say, he's doing pretty good. He's a 73%er. I would say, look at that in a marriage. And why should it be any less sacred? He took a sacred oath before God to obey, honor, sustain, uphold, protect, defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic, the United States Constitution, and more than 25% of the time, as Sam points out, he's being unfaithful to that oath. And I say, people, don't you understand? I mean, when you look at the way the founders they defined oath, they said you imprecate the vengeance of God. Even if you don't say, so help me God, when you take an oath, you're saying, God's going to take this out on me if I don't abide by it. And so here we have people out there that are representing us, and the best of the best. You know, most of them violate it 25% of the time, at least.
And yeah, the only defense a little bit in a case like a Ron Paul or a couple of people like that is that there's sometimes a difference of interpretation on things. Which might justify somebody and they wouldn't really be considered being unfaithful per se. That's one issue. The other issue is once in a while, there's no good answer. In other words, do you not vote at all or do you vote for the best scenario you can? In other words, sometimes it's a trap and there's just no good choice. I wouldn't call that being unfaithful either. So there is a little bit of room for understanding here, but your point's well taken.
Well, I'm very concerned that we're so willing to give everybody a pass that there are unfaithful things you can do in a marriage that some may say, well, that didn't quite qualify. Do you remember when Bill Clinton said, I did not have sexual intercourse with that woman? Okay? He was parsing and he was kind of by definition, well, you know, really, it's not exactly, you know what, I'm not lying. And I think we give too many a pass for that. We let things slide that shouldn't. And I think that we ought to hold them accountable. And honestly, every single election, every 2 years, we could turn all of the scoundrels out that didn't do that, 435 of them. Every 2 years, we could turn a third of the Senate, the next time a third of the Senate and the executive. The people need to understand that we are responsible for our governance and the charter of the nation, that everyone takes a sacred oath. I took a sacred oath to it back when I joined. You know, this was almost 50 years ago. That does not have an expiration date on it. And I just am astounded that we're, and you know, you may be right. Maybe there's some things that they're plain and simple. You say, well, it doesn't quite, I don't think there are all that many. I think that, you know, you read a bill as a congressman and you read it until you know that it's unconstitutional, you vote against it. And by the way, it might be in the title. You might look at the title and say, holy cow, Of course, they try and name them all sorts of patriotic things like the USA Patriot Act. They stay up nights looking at these things, I swear. And the fact of the matter is, you have to read a little farther than the title. But when you find something that's a death sentence to the nation, vote against it. You know, it's a fatal flaw. You can't keep doing this and keep the nation going. We've done this, and we've come to a point where 80%, roughly, arguably, I don't know exactly what the number is.
Yeah, your point's well taken. I agree. I would just say sometimes it's not that cut and dry. I'll give you an example. Let's say they said, hey, instead of forcing people to go to government school, let's let people use whatever funds for whatever schooling they want. In other words, school choice. Some would say don't vote for that because you're still spending unconstitutional money. You're still stealing from, you know, one group to pay for another. But others would say it's a step in the right direction, right? The only pure constitutional vote would be say, I don't care what you're going to use the funding for. You don't have the right to steal it from the people, period, end of paragraph. Don't do it. Others would say, but if you don't vote for it, you're at least, you know, you're preventing steps in the right direction, which is choice and opportunities. You know, sometimes there's tough battles there's no good answers for, right?
Well, I'd sure like to see what the quarter that Meadows has voted for.
Yeah, it's a good, fair point.
How it stands in that analysis.
And I agree with your point. I'm just saying that I do think that it's a complicated issue sometimes, you know. So there you go. What do you say, Kurt? You want to respond to this?
I certainly would prefer somebody with 100% or 110%. But, man, it just seems like these days, like, you know, right now, let's just say we were going to get one more, I don't know, Brzezinski or something like that. Or do we get Mark Meadows? You know, I was going to be like, well, you know, give me something better than what we've got, you know.
Well, and that's
kind of like the
dilemma.
Hillary. It's kind of like the Hillary Trump deal, you know, because frankly, that's all we really get given to us.
Yeah,
even
that's
though
right.
We vote for other guys. The standard group are only given the two choices. And so, you know, that's where most of us, you know, see it.
I do wonder, though, if a Scott Bradley or myself could get 100%. Because remember, even if I might vote right on something, it's those people at the New American or whoever's putting the scorecard together, too. If they decide what I did is unconstitutional, even though I may be right and they may be wrong, I wouldn't get 100%. So we got to be a little bit careful with some of that reality check, although Scott's point's well taken that we need to stand unequivocally for the supreme law of the land and our oath thereunto, right, Scott?
Well, I think so, and as I'm looking at Mark Meadows, he's been advocating a balanced budget amendment, and I've looked at every single
and I reject
balanced
that.
Budget amendment they put out, and first of all, it's not going to happen unless you go to a con, which will destroy the Constitution, because the yo-yos in Congress.
Hey, if we abolish the Federal Reserve, we don't need a balanced budget amendment, sir.
That's true, but the fact is he's advocating something that will lead to a con, and that's a fatal flaw. I mean, you know, there's so many things you can say there are fatal flaws. I mean, and the con is not the only one. I think anybody that's taken away any of our God-given rights, whether it's Second Amendment, whether it's life, whether it's religion, whether it's the idea of press, I mean, these are things that were sacred, they're in the Constitution, and anybody, for example, like the Orrin Hatches that destroyed the Fourth Amendment with the Patriot Act, that's a fatal flaw. I mean, I really get concerned that some of these things, you know, like I've said many times, you can argue, well, maybe discuss with your spouse whether you want rose-colored or blue carpet in the living room, and it doesn't matter. But there are things when you start messing with things that are at the very core of the continued existence of this nation that they better be on the right side, you know?
Amen to that reality check. With that, we got to fly. Hey, don't worry, though. Bruce Springsteen said nobody can beat the Donald. He'll win in 2020. Final response to that, Scott?
I don't know if he's right or wrong. I didn't, you know, we'll have to see, I guess. I don't put much on celebrities.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. I agree with Scott Bradley. We need to have pure application of the principles that made America great if we want to make America grateful again, moral again. That's where it starts, folks. God, family, country, life, liberty, property. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Appreciate you, Scott. Go to freedomsrisingsun.com to learn about Scott's incredible webinars every week. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you next week.
We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. Will you help? God save the Republic of the United States of America.